Hello, I'm Karen Eber-Davis, and I'm on a mission to help nonprofit leaders like you generate the ideas and resources you need to fulfill your goals in creative, effective, and whenever possible, brilliant ways. Today, it's my pleasure to talk to Emory Ivory, who is the president of the Tampa Bay area for the United Way Suncoast. Emory and I discuss how to create realistic donor expectations that involve possibly the need to come back to that donor for more than 1 year of funding. We also discuss the need to keep overhead costs realistic and low, but not so low that they hurt our capacity to do our mission. You'll enjoy this conversation and learn some ideas about how to strengthen your nonprofit in both of these areas.
Emory, thank you for being with me today and talking about these important issues. First thing I want to say is congratulations. Since we talked, you have a new title.
Yes, I do, and thank you. It's a pleasure having this conversation with you as well. But my new title is Tampa Bay Area President for United Way Suncoast.
Great. And I want to hopefully come back around to that at the end and talk about the merger. And I know anyone locally would be interested in hearing your take on what's going on with that.
Okay.
When we talked back this spring, you were one of the most interesting conversations. I had about 15 conversations with people around the area about what happened in the recession and income innovation. And I would love to be able to go back in time and turn the tape recorder on then. So that's my goal here, is to
okay.
Go back to that in time if we remember who we were then. But when we talked, we had this interesting conversation that, you know, you said that we've created a bind for ourselves in
mm-hmm.
terms of what we say to our donors. And that what we promise them perhaps the moon, and mm-hmm. we deliver them maybe some of the moon, and then a year later we want to go back to them and say, oh, by the way, we need to promise you some more moon. So I guess it's really about setting the expectations, and that we don't get ourselves caught in having them expect something we really can't deliver. So
yeah.
Can you tell me about that some more?
Well, yeah, I think there are a couple of challenges that we have in this business, and you sort of touched on the one that you and I talked about, which is the expectations that we set for funders around our programs, and I think that there are a couple of issues with that. One is that, you know, the problems that we deal with, the community problems, the social problems, are very, very complex. And the solutions are, we're still struggling to find in many areas. In some areas, we're very close. And in some areas, I think we have found a lot of successes. But I think that the key is that we have to be careful about making sure that our investors understand sort of the nature of the work behind the programs and the problems, and the fact that they are complex, and that many of the solutions have to be long-term solutions. And so if we are setting up an expectation that if we have a one-year grant, that a lot of this work, a lot of the solutions are going to be found, a lot of successes are going to be achieved, especially, again, with some of the more complex issues, then we all kind of know that it's going to take a while before we start to see results. And while we can show that we've met certain benchmarks along the way, that really a lot of the work really points to, you know, some more longer term results, especially with, you know, some of the prevention programs, for example. So when we think about early childhood programs, with the understanding that what we really want to do is to prepare kids for school, and that we want to give them the skills so that they can be successful and, you know, sort of move from grade to grade and eventually graduate. And a lot of this work really is evidence-based, research-driven. But if we are to really show results, then we have to follow and track those kids, and really in order to show really that the investment has had the intended impact, we have to wait for a number of years in order to show those results. So I think it's just really, really important that, again, that we figure out a way to manage expectations, to share the reality of our work and the long-term nature of our work. And I think that's what's really, really key for us.
So really it's about teaching people that we don't have a polio shot to give children or any group these social complex problems. It's not a polio shot. We come in, you get the shot, and next time we never see you again. That we're
right.
really offering a process to help move you from what is possibly very ill or in high need to less needs. And we know a lot about how to do that, but we're not promising the polio shot. We're promising a movement towards progress.
Absolutely. And I think the other area is the fact that that success force looks very different in some programs versus others. And so there could be, you know, some programs, some drug treatment programs, for example, in which, you know, 40-50% success rate, recovery rate may be really, really, really good. Whereas in other programs, maybe you are looking more at, you know, closer to 80-90%. But again, another area that we have to manage expectations in, that success really means and is defined differently depending on the issue that you are trying to address and the program that you have in place.
So it's process of helping donors understand the complexity and how you will contribute to that process. And then what those outcomes might look like. I mean, again, with the polio shot as an example, it's pretty high success rate, 99% or higher. It works
right.
for kids. You know, it works for
yeah.
everybody. And that was the end of polio as people knew it then.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that in some cases making progress at all because it's so difficult to make any could be
mm-hmm.
huge, but it could look very different than a shiny star an A on a report kind of thing, that we like to do that. So we really have a lot of work to do in managing our donor expectations.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the example that you use is a great one. And, you know, the program that comes to mind is a program that was operated out of the Madison, Wisconsin United Way in partnership with the school district and, you know, several other partners. And so they set a goal of closing the achievement gap between African-American and other minority students. And they set out on this journey to help address literacy issues, so on and so forth. Now, they were successful. They were able to completely close the achievement gap, but it took them almost 10 years to do that. And so, again, it points back to the nature of some of these issues that we are trying to address and again, the long-term nature and making sure that when we work with investors and donors and grant makers, that we are all on the same page in terms of what's realistic in terms of those outcomes.
Any suggestions on from a nonprofit point of view? I'm a nonprofit executive director, and I'm going in to meet my United Way group to talk
mm-hmm.
to them. And, of course, they want as much result as possible, as do
mm-hmm.
I. But I don't have the resources I really would like to have,
mm-hmm.
even if I do get the United Way request I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm managing a lot just keeping the people in the program, basically,
mm-hmm.
much less getting the outcomes. I mean, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How do I help you to understand, as someone from the United Way, what I'm facing and how we might work together to create some realistic expectations?
I think that it's a conversation that a lot of nonprofits need to have, but I think with their funders. But I think that at least for United Way and the folks that we have, the volunteers, the committees, the staff that we have around the table, what we really are looking for is that what you're presenting to us is well thought out, that there is some research or some information gathering that has been done about the program that's in place that you're looking for us to fund, and that you are really realistic about numbers served and long-term impact and so on and so forth. I mean, I think that what's really key is just not underestimating, on the other hand, the funders' understanding of what it takes to address some of these issues. I mean, and
so really
I think
face
that
it instead of just saying, okay, everything's great at my organization, please hand me the money, I'll do great things with it, trust me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Having that conversation.
Yeah, because a comment like that starts to set off flags anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm not really saying what was this.
I know, but yeah, but it can come across in some different ways. I mean, and
right,
we do
right.
sometimes
sort of
hear
sense.
That. It's a little
yeah.
more subtle, right?
I hope. Okay, you know, turning a little from you know, how we set these expectations and having these conversations, and I think that always comes back to relationships. We never get away from that very far. Is
mm-hmm.
understanding what the need is, being able to say, here's the big picture, here's where we're doing, here's how we see progress, this is our place, and claiming that in those conversations. Another area that is really ties into this is the whole thing about having low overhead rate. And that always bites us, or has been biting us. We have not only live in this, the expectation is there, we help create that expectation. We help say, sure, we'll do it for cheap. We'll do it for the lowest cost possible. And there's a challenge with that. So
yeah.
how do you help people with that?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a sort of another issue that makes that a little more complicated, which is that, you know, there have been some scandals, you know, in the nonprofit world with regards to finances and that sort of thing. So I think that that's hurt us in this business as well. But I think that what we have to do is to educate our boards, spend more time helping them to understand that when we are talking about overhead, that a lot of those overhead costs really tie to the mission of the organization, right? And so if we think about the overhead, for example, related to facilities, especially a facility that serves youth and children maybe 24 hours or even a large part of the day. The upkeep of those facilities, the maintenance, the lights, all of the utilities, I mean, that's really, really important. And all of that is overhead, but those are necessary expenses that tie directly to the mission of the organization. And I think
that
all nonprofits work really, really hard to keep those costs down. At the same time, some of those costs are really beyond our control, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you own your facility clear and outright and have an endowment to pay for that, you're in a much better place than someone who has to pay or needs to build a facility and then operate it 24 hours. If you are an advocacy group and you can come and work 8 through 5 and not use many offices,
absolutely.
Your overhead is much lower.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you think this starts with board education, that we start there, that we start saying these are realistic costs that can't, that we have, we're going to be higher.
Absolutely, absolutely. And engage the board in helping to think through how to best manage those costs, but not necessarily looking at, you know, is there a way to bring those costs down so far that it starts to really hurt the strength of the agency and the program itself, especially, you know, in light of all of the reporting requirements that nonprofits have to take care of. So with every grant comes, you know, reports related to outcomes. And if you are talking about federal or other government grants, there's a lot of reporting that has to be done. Again, you have to have some overhead, some administrative cost to take care of how you report to those funders related to information related to your program. There's the finance. So you have to manage the dollars and the grants that come into your organization, and you have to do that well. You have to do audits. You have to have some of those other, oversights. All of that's important, and all of those areas are what we look at as funders to make sure that the agency, is solid. So I think that, again, having the conversation, educating the board first before, you start to have the conversation about what is the best way to manage overhead costs. It's like, let's make sure that we all are on the same page, and again, that we understand what goes into those costs and why it's so important.
And what could really be cut? And can we be 5%, or, is our number always going to be much higher than the average?
Yeah, yeah. And, I'm not even sure that that maybe the best way to go is to set some target percentage as much as it. I mean, you have to certainly keep, don't get me wrong, you have to keep those costs under control. At the same time, you have to really balance that with what's really required as it relates to overhead costs to keep the agency running well.
And it may be that you want to compare yourself to organizations who are like you in other communities. So another shelter for 24 hours a day for children would be a better comparison than to a Boys and Girls Club that doesn't have those kinds of hours.
So yeah, absolutely.
Then you get some good numbers. And you might find that at everyone in the country is 15%, and that's what's good.
Yeah.
That's what's necessary, and then you're around that range versus some other number that you've chosen or been chosen for you.
Right. Absolutely.
Because it's really about – that sounds like it's information-driven too. So you educate your board with information based on what you're learning about your cost and where there could be cost cutting or maybe not, as mm-hmm. well as what else is out there. And perhaps you'll find that you're way under where you should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that because of the nature of your business, that there's certain costs that you just really can't avoid. And, I think that kind of the other area is the, all of the costs associated with, the most important asset, I think, of nonprofit, which is the human capital. And making sure that you have quality staff, talented staff, and that you are retaining those staff. So again, when you start to look at training costs, for example, all of those costs are extremely important in terms of running a strong organization.
And that making sure you're including them and not cut yourself so short that you hurt yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if you are an organization that has high overhead, you can address that in a paragraph on the budget sheet, budget explanation. Why is our overhead so high?
We
have researched 15 organizations across the country who are very similar, and their numbers run this to this, and we are right in the middle.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is why these costs are where they are.
Yeah.
And that kind of an explanation really sheds light, not only as we look at that individual agency's cost, but as we think about overhead costs across the board.
Yeah. And so that also hopefully begins as you educate your board and educate people who you're talking to, i.e. donors and foundations. This
right.
is why we're higher. Therefore, this number, this 10% number in the sky is perhaps not realistic at all for our business.
Right.
Well, before we get out of our time here, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the merger of the United mm-hmm. Way of the Tampa Bay area and Sarasota and DeSoto County. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about it from what a nonprofit executive in the community would like to know about it?
This was a conversation that started about 2 years ago between our United Way and the United Way of Sarasota County. And I think that it is nationally from our national organization, United Way Worldwide, it has been an area that has been a topic of discussion at the national level for some time, mainly because, when you start to think about the Tampa Bay area and the live-work patterns, media markets, some of the companies in this area that run United Way campaigns, we often cross county lines. And I think that really the strength of our business is to look at stronger partnerships and leading up to consolidation and mergers. And I think that the nature of our business on the resource development side is that becomes important. And but certainly on what we call the community impact side, and that is, you know, really developing strategies to get to some of the root causes of our community problems. And so to the extent that we can work together in a much stronger way, combine back office operations, bring the talent of our United Ways to the table to think through a lot of these issues, it's going to make us stronger as a system.
So this is about making a bigger regional impact.
Absolutely.
And both in terms of how you're serving people who are providing funds for the United Way and institutions, as well as what that those funds do back in the community. So it's really pulling together more resources on both sides.
Absolutely. And, you know, and benefiting from each other's strengths and, you know, and also working together on areas that we can possibly be stronger at. So we have a good system and we have some good leadership, you know, in the United Way system and certainly in this region and certainly within the state of Florida. There's just an opportunity, I think, that if we, you know, work together in different ways moving forward and down the line, that, again, we're going to be much stronger as a system, both regionally, statewide, and nationally.
Wow. Okay. So really a bigger impact than even just the region.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time and the chance to talk some more about these important issues with you.
Sure. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this Mission Brilliant podcast. You can find more ideas and resources for your nonprofit organization at our website, www.kedconsult.com. I'm Karen Eber-Davis, and until we talk again, I wish you and your nonprofit creative and effective success.